Thank you, God, for this time together. I thank you for each and every individual that is here right now. They're at the right place at the right time. I believe that. Father God, and I thank you for them. I pray that you open their hearts, open their minds, open their eyes, open their ears, Father God, to hear, see, feel, and retain your word. And let it be your word today. Don't let it be any of my words. Just let me be the vessel to deliver what you have to say to these people and myself. I'll take some Holy Spirit conviction as well as the people will. Father God, move today by your word, by your will, and your way. Be with our pastors where they're at right now. And also be with Bob and Joseph, Father God, right now as they need healing, Father God. And everybody else that needs healing in the church, I understand that there's other ailments also. Father God, we thank you for being the healer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to give thanks to God for even bringing me here to New Season and bringing me back again to be able to be in this place. I want to thank my pastors for helping restore my soul and being there as a guide. And not only my pastors, but the leaders in the church that were there for me as I went through a dark time. And I want to thank you guys, the people. I want to thank you guys for encouraging me and for being there with me and serving God together with me and my family. You guys are amazing. You have no idea how amazing you are. I hear the compliments you give my children. It's just like complimenting me. Thank you. And my wife. I thank you for the support that you've given my beautiful wife right over here on the left side of the front row. The infamous Connection Pastor Sharon Debbie Williams. Now you know her middle name. Sophisticated Jones, how fine. I just can't leave it, babe. Sorry. So once again, I'm Pastor Larry, and just a real short testimony about me. I grew up here in Apache Junction, went to Apache Junction High School. I'm a prospector, and I still go to football games, and every once in a while they let me up in the booth to announce the football game, and it's pretty fun. But as I was growing up here in Apache Junction, I tend to, you know how they say you can take the boy out of Apache Junction, but you can't take Apache Junction out of the boy? I tend to be that. My brother. And it's true. But there's a reason why God raises certain individuals in certain places. And that's so that they'll have a certain fortitude or a networking ability about them. And I believe that he raised me here in Apache Junction so I would go through what I went through and so that I could talk to who I need to talk to and understand the people I need to understand. And they could have an understanding of me. We can get together. And it says one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. That's right. And so me and Mark together, we chase 10,000. We chase 10,000 drug addict spirits away from Apache Junction every chance we get. Every alcoholic spirit, we chase it away every chance we get. And so addiction is a nasty, nasty thing in this area. I had a problem with it. God has restored me, has restored my soul, and I'm not a young man anymore. I'm an older man with a little bit more wisdom. And I thank God for restoring me, my health, and all of the above, and even my time with my family. And there's the trust has been given back to me, and I thank God for that, because we, as a man, you're only as good as your handshake and your word, you know. And I like to be able to say what I'm going to do and do it. I like to be able to say, hey, this is where I'm at, and I'm there. There's a peace of mind about it. There's a peace of mind about going home and getting some home cooking. So other than that, I have a sermon called, Do You Believe? Do You Believe? So the title is Do You Believe? But I had some other titles that were in the running. But this is a bite from Pastor Sean's little shtick. What do you believe? What do you believe could have been the title? What is it that you believe? I mean, do we really examine every day what our base value and belief systems are? I mean, we obviously believe in solids. I mean, I can't necessarily punch through that. Ow. It's pretty solid. Just kidding. Can't obviously go through that. I mean, I can't morph through it or anything like that. Pretty solid. I believe that I can't go through it. So I believe I'm not going to hit it too hard to hurt myself. There's other things. We believe every time we take a breath, like Jody just did, got to get some oxygen. Got to get what we need for our blood. Okay? We believe that. COVID tried taking that away from us a little bit. But it's gone in Jesus' name. It's gone out of my life anyway. And I think, so what do we believe? Do you believe everything you hear? If somebody comes and tells you something, says, hey, this is it. This is the thing. This is the new thing. You never heard of this before because I'm the only one telling you. This is the first time you heard it. It's the new thing. Do you believe everything you hear? Most people that are over the age, I would say, of 30 have been burnt a couple times and don't believe everything that I'm, yes. But I know when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I tend to believe everything but what my mom was telling me. And I was right. If you don't believe me, ask me. I was definitely right, and I would have arguments with her, and she was a godly woman, and she led me to the Lord and as an early a young man. But I just went through that rebellious stage where I was a teenager, and I was right about everything, where I was a young man, and it got even worse when I got a job and money and all that stuff. Man, what money will do to a guy? But I believed certain things, you know. Here come the... Nothing against Amway or any other multi-level marketing, I won't say scheme, thing like that. The guy comes along and he shows me a thing of money and he says, this could be yours. And, oh man, I believed him. I believed him. I believed in a lot of things back then. I believed so many different things that were wrong. Didn't have a very good belief system, even though I was raised in church. I sat in these seats, not these exact ones, but other church seats with the Word of God being preached to me very soundly from a very good source called the Bible, and I still strayed because I wasn't grounded in a belief system. Wasn't grounded. Do you believe in anything? Do you believe in anything? Could have been a title. The reason I say that is because so many people, they just pick and choose. Like, you know, today, I know last month I said I believed in this, and they're just kind of flighty in their belief system. They don't ever get grounded in any certain thing. Or, how about this one? There was this old Baptist preacher, and he was baptizing a guy. And he knew this guy was the kind of guy that he just really needed some extra water time. And he'd dunk him and he'd bring him up and he'd say, do you believe? Dunk him again and he said, do you believe? And the guy's getting ready to get, you know how the water's coming down your face like that? You're trying to get it clear so you can say something, not sucking up your nose and get snot bubbles, all that stuff. And he's trying to speak and he gets dunked again. Finally, he just gets everything in like a cat, you know, trying to come out of the water. He finally holds himself up. He says, I do believe. I believe you're trying to kill me. That's not the kind of belief we're looking for. So, what do we believe? What do we believe? Here in New Season, we are very much steeped into believing about the Bible and its word, that its word is the infallible word of God. Okay? Now, I want you to contemplate that because so many people have a general belief system. Even though they call themselves Christian, they say, well, I'm Christ-like, okay? So I believe that you should love your neighbor, and the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have done to you, and those things like that. And they just kind of base their life off of that nicey-nice type situation. Just a general belief in God. there's a God. I believe in him. I'm good. But they don't get into the details. They don't get into the meats. They don't get into the greens. They don't get into the things that really make you an athletic spiritual Christian. An athletic Christian spiritual juggernaut, if you will. A superpower, super athletic. Like if you were to look inside Pastor Jody's soul, okay? She looks like a cross between Usain Bolt and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Jet Li. Okay? So if you can imagine Jet Li, Usain Bolt, and Arnold Schwarzenegger all in one, that's Pastor Jody's spirit. She will cut off the head of a demon, pull somebody out of the drowning situation, and then run across the finish line, smoke a cigar like Arnold, and say, I'll be back. So saying, if you can imagine that picture, that's what Pastor Jody's. Other of us, you know, we got, some of us were really buff inside, but we skipped leg day. So then the devil comes along and pushes us over because we're top heavy. Some of us got a really good base. We're like, yeah, look at this base, man. Nobody can knock me over. Oh, yeah, that's to knock me over. But then you go to pick up a 10-pound weight. Can't do it. Got no grip. Got no upper body strength. Because we pick and choose what we do at God's gym. You got to exercise everything. You got to get on that universal belief machine of the Bible. And you got to take it all in. I'm sorry. Yes, you do need to read Lamentations. I'm sorry. I hate it too. But guess what? You'll find out later that it actually means something. And it's a picture of Christ. Don't believe everything you hear. And wait, sorry. Wrong note. See, I should be wearing my glasses. Do you believe Jesus is good with me and I'm good with him? That's called okey-doke Christianity. I'm good with Jesus. He died for my sins. That's a cool dude, man. Came down from heaven to earth in the manger. Yeah, man, that's a cool scene. He's good with me, too. Talk to him another day. Yeah. How about this? I believe some of this, some of that. I kind of have like this goulash belief of life. I pick and choose my ingredients of what I want to believe in. Whoa, got quiet in here. I'm sorry. Am I stepping on any toes? Too bad. I'm here to step on toes. Truth does hurt sometimes. Am I right, brother? I've been there. Goulash was my life. Okay? I was that silly teenager that used to try to make deals with the devil and God. Like, whoever comes to my aid first gets my soul. Stupid! That was dumb. That's going to leave a mark. That was silly. Silliness. The goulash of life. And I believe lots of you guys have probably done it before too. And you know, and if you haven't, just go ahead and remain silent. Oh. See how that works? The way that we're supposed to believe, though, is an all-in mentality. Can I get an all-in, Mark? All in, baby. I gave a sermon not too long ago. Well, it's about a year and a half ago. All in. The Bible says it. It's the infallible truth and word of God. That means it'd be like your father coming directly to you when you're reading the word of God and saying, don't put your hand in the fire. You're going to get burnt. And then you go back, being the rebellious little toddler that you are, and you put your hand in the fire. Now, the more you read your Bible, the more you discover, yes, things burn, and Father said this, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm all in now, and I'm more mature now, and I'm not going to do what he says not to do, and I'm going to do what he says to do. I'm going to jump when he says, I'm going to say how high. I'm going to stay silent when he says to stay silent. That's the hardest one for me. That's my wife. I always feel like I have something to say to everybody. Hey, now imagine this. I have a gift of the giving people words And I can understand sometimes what's going on in your lives. God's telling me things sometimes when we're having a very good spiritual time, you know. And sometimes he's like, keep that to yourself. But God, you just told me. No, no, no. You're supposed to chew on it. You're supposed to pray for him. You're supposed to go, you and Pastor are supposed to go pray for him. You and Pastor Jody and your wife are supposed to go pray for him. You don't say nothing. I'm telling you so you could pray. I'm telling you so you could chew on it. I'm telling you so you could develop something really impactful in their life. Okay. Do you believe? Do you believe? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 10 in the NLT. It says this. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's just chew on that part real quick. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if we don't have an understanding of what God is saying, that means that we have to just believe in what the Father is saying. We don't have an understanding. Scripture says that right here. Let's go on in verse 10. It says, but it was us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. So those who love him, and it was us. Who's this scripture talking about? We are the church. We are the church. I am the church. Say it. I am the church. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I've accepted Jesus into my heart. And so now, Jesus knows I love him because I told him. God knows I love him because I told him. And his Spirit is now going to reveal things to me. You mean the blinders can be taken off? And now it's not just a happen chance belief type thing, like I'm stepping off, like Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade. He's stepping off and he throws the sand and sees the deal. You guys seen that movie? Yeah. We're not just stepping off. We can actually, God says there's something there for you. Go ahead, step out. Oh, there is. Solid. It's very solid. Thank you, Jesus. Because so many times we don't see things in our life. We haven't heard. We don't have an imagination. But God came anyways and said this. And he said that. Now, this also tells me that those that don't believe, those that don't love God, you know those people. You pray for those people. Some of them are your family. Some of your coworkers. Some of your friends. They're not going to understand what's going on in your life. Because you're the one that's close to God. You're the one that is having closeness time with God. And his Spirit is searching out everything and shows us his dark secrets. His deep secrets. Sorry, not dark. They're actually light. But can I get a drum here? Faux pas. You gotta love that. Just like in a gender reveal, we find out the gender of a baby from an information source that searched in a secret hidden place. We cannot see inside the belly. Now, there are all sorts of people that are like, oh, you're carrying it low, it's this, or you're carrying it high, it's that. I get that. That kind of works sometimes. But they don't ultimately know. But the lady with the sonogram, whatever it's called, ultrasound, the waves that go into the belly, they can see. And that's a sacred place. It's a reveal. Okay? And it's information being given by somebody who ultimately knows what's going on there, just like God. Gender reveals are just like what God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you that information, but you have to believe in him. You have to have a good belief system, a good belief basis before you can start to understand these things. If you love him, you want to be closer to him. The closer you are to him, the more revealing God is going to be to you. And let me tell you something. Some people, if you have a hard time reading your Bible in here, the more you love God, the easier it is to read his word. The more you worship him and start to under your, what's amazing is sometimes I got into worship way before I got into reading my Bible. And sometimes you know all these songs. All of a sudden you're reading the Bible. You're like, hey, that came out of the Bible. How about that? It's the word of God. We're literally praising with the word of God most of the time. There's new songs out there, praise God. But most of them come from Psalms or somewhere else in the Bible. Proverbs sometimes. Yes. God is good. Let's pull up Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. This is going to be in the message, so be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. You'll still be on your feet. Prepare. Be prepared. And this is what I'm talking about. Just in case there's somebody in here contemplating receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I'm specifically talking to you right now, and I'm also talking to the wavering Christian. Okay? And anybody in the future that might waver, talking to you, talking to myself, talking to all of us. The devil is crafty. He's roaming the earth, and he's looking to destroy. And he doesn't always have to rob you of your salvation to get you to be a useless Christian. Sometimes he can just put a bug in your ear and tell you how right you are about certain things. Jody, man, you right, man. Check this out. That thing you said the other day, you need to tell everybody and be so annoying about it. Just go crazy on them. If they want to argue, argue back. Okay? I want you to argue because you're right. They're wrong. Remember, you're right. They're wrong. Man, who wants that? Who wants an argument? The Bible says arguments are like noisy gongs. They do nobody any good. They just announce something. They announce that you're insecure about yourself, or you know, God needs to be argued. God doesn't need you to defend him. Go out there and give the gospel in the most loving way possible that you can. And if somebody wants to pose an argument with you, shut it down. Say, you know what? I love you, but we're just going to have to agree to disagree right now. I love God. Measure my life. See what happens here. You don't have to be annoying about it, like Jody. Just kidding. My brother's not annoying. I love this guy. And I know I could pick on him. That's why we have good talks, don't we, Jody? But, yeah. Devil wants to come and he wants to take things from you. So be prepared, because you can't handle it on your own. So you need things. In 14, it says, we need truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation. These are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray long and hard. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Looking out for each other, church. Looking out for each other. Praying for each other. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Pray for. Sometimes I, you know, one of my favorite things about Facebook is getting on that new season prayer page. You guys are amazing. I go on there and I don't always like or comment anything, but I pray for whoever I see is on there. And sometimes you guys, I want to let you know, there are several guys at my work that know I'm a Christian, that know I'm a pastor, and they know about your prayer Facebook. And they come to me because things have happened. There was a lady that was, I don't know, if, Mary, if you remember this, a friend of mine, Sammy Cuesta, his mother was in a real bad way. And I put a prayer request on there. And I don't remember how many responses, more responses than normal that I usually see on there. You guys all went to work. You guys all went to your knees and brought heaven down. And she was healed. And she's a believer. And she knows where that came from. And so that just brought more faith and belief to my job site because of you guys, because you guys activated faith. And so good job, New Season. Good job, believers. Good job, prayer warriors. And that's what I'm talking about. This is the infallible belief system that I'm talking about. The network that was activated that day brought down the heavenlies. It brought down the blood of Jesus to heal. And you could say nay if you want to, but it's not just happenstance, circumstance. It's not just something that, what's that called? it happened because God said so, because his children reached out. That's why it happened. I fully believe that 100%. You can't convince me otherwise. Just like when God healed me of my leg, I had a broken leg. The doctor said I'd never run again, never... They said I wouldn't even walk right. They said a bunch of things because I had on this leg, I had a 25% attached and a 50% attached on my tib and fib. And this was back when rods were causing blood clots in people and they were causing strokes in athletes. So they didn't want to do the rods. They didn't want to re-break and reset either. They just told me, sorry. But I ended up playing football again. I ended up playing basketball again. And at one time, this white boy could dunk a volleyball. That's right. That's right. I got bulky hands. I can't palm a basketball. Okay? But I can palm a volleyball. I can't see you, but I heard your voice. Love you too, Mark. Anyway, as we were saying, every day the enemy will try to deceive you or get you to ensnared in an argument. Like the verse, it says to pray long and hard and to keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Be ready. I gave a sermon not too long ago about putting on the armor of God daily. It's the same thing. If we really believe in what God says, he implores us to put on our armor daily. Put on your helmet so that your mind can't be bombarded. Put on your breastplate so that you can keep traction and keep your stand. Put on your sandals, okay? Gird yourself. Gird yourself. We won't get into all that, but that's what God wants us to do. Let's go ahead and skip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16 in the message. And it says, the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like such silliness. This is what I was talking about, how your friends that aren't saved or your relatives that aren't saved, don't expect them to just run over to you and say, how must I be saved? Oh my goodness, I can see the glow on you and you have so much understanding and wisdom and I don't want to argue with you whatsoever. Just tell me what to say, what to do. Do I just go to your church? Do I wear a certain underwear? What do I do? The tagless shirts? I don't know. What do I do? What do I do? No, they're not going to say none of that. They're going to think you're silly. They're going to think you're weird. The Bible said it, not me. Okay? So, but what you got to do is you got to go into these situations all the time with God's Spirit, because God's Spirit is what? God's Spirit's love. He is the ultimate. The verse of the day today was the three greatest things. And the greatest thing of all is love. So that was the scripture of today on your YouVersion Bible app. And so God's Spirit is love. When you ultimately love somebody, you're going to care about them up in a proper way. Let's go ahead and read on in 1 Corinthians. So it says, it's like silliness. The spirit can be known only by spirit. So in other words, when you see another Christian brother or sister, and they have an understanding of what you have an understanding of, for some reason, it's like kin. And you, there's a likeness there. And you guys can talk and you can communicate because you guys are communicating in the spirit. Okay? So spirit, and only by spirit, God's spirit and our spirit in open communion, spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's spirit is doing. Whew. Whoa. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we have access to that and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Ha! Get off me. Are you kidding me? We can't be judged. They call you silly all they want. You're not silly. They're silly. Put that in your pocket. They're silly. Just like they can't judge us with these unspiritual critics. Just like Isaiah's question. Is there anyone around who knows God's spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing? It has been answered. Christ knows. And we have Christ's spirit. Greater is he. Yeah, clap it up. Praise God. Praise God. We have his spirit. When you give your life to God and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he enters into your heart and he starts to clean it out like a gentleman. And he takes care of you and he caresses you and he massages you. And he says, I want this, son or daughter. I want you to change this. And you know what? Go ahead and keep cussing like a sailor because I'm taking a cigarette first. Whatever. Whatever. Don't judge your fellow brother or sister just because they may have a mouth or a cigarette or whatever you think their sin is. Whatever you think their sin is. You don't know what sin is. God does. I mean, we can identify things by what the Bible says, yes. But we're not the judge. Let God work it out. And he'll work it out. He always does. I gave advice one time to a lady about cussing. And she went home and kicked her girlfriend out because she said she wasn't supposed to be doing that no more. And that's what God said. I'm like, we didn't even talk about that. Where did you get? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay. She said, we're not living. We're living in sin. She told her we're living in sin. And so, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to be married and all this stuff. And this is sin. That's sin. The other thing. We won't get into that discussion, but she came back to me and she was all happy. She said, remember when you told me to say that? I said, I didn't tell you to say that. I did not tell you to say that. That's like a whole counseling session right there. And you just said, should I smoke cigarettes? And I said, well, I'll tell you what a preacher told my mom one time. Said, it might not take you to hell, but you'll smell like you've been there. But that's what a pastor told my mom. That's not my words. So for the recording, those were not Pastor Larry's words. Pastor Heidi. So, no, Pastor Heidi didn't say it. I'm saying, no, notation for Pastor Heidi. This was not Pastor Larry's words. I'm sure she would say it, though. Anyway, while you're ahead, non-believers don't have closeness with God like we do. So they're not going to understand God things. They're not going to understand his spirit like we do. Okay? Close to God equals close to his spirit. Close to God equals close to his spirit. This is why so many times you'll hear Pastor Sean or Pastor Heidi say, check your love level. Check your love level. If you don't love people, which can be pretty easy to do, not love people. But when you love people and your heart goes out to them, and like Friday, we had a brother on the job. He left to go get on the phone in the middle of work. And right away, my finite mind is like, where's Tommy? Dang it. We need him. We need him to work. And so I'm going on and on about, where's Tommy? Sammy, where's Tommy? He's like, he's on the phone. I'm like, oh, great, he's on the phone. We're supposed to be working. And so I'm being petty, really, because he comes back and he says, "Sammy," which is our superintendent's name. And there was such a desperation in his voice, I could hear it. And this is a Christian brother. His name's Tommy. And I look over at him, I could just see the downtrodden look on his appearance and his face, like something just kicked him in the gut. He's got tears in his eyes. His eyes are real long and tearful. I'm like, whoa, something's going on here. All of a sudden, that pettiness of him not being there with the shovel went away real quick because I knew something was wrong. And my heart went out to my brother. Love him. And then he tells us my grandma didn't live. She passed. And so we released him to go do what he needs to do. And I felt so bad. I said, "God, forgive me," because I was petty. And here he was dealing with a dying grandmother. But my heart went out to him because it's, and I know that situation can be easy to love somebody, but my heart really goes out to him. I've been thinking about him ever since then because I love people. God has given me love for people. It's not probably where it should be, but to see, the thing is, I'm getting closer and closer to God. And so the closer I get, come here, Andrew, please, sucker. I mean, Andrew. So, Andrew, step like I step. Okay. Now, Andrew, come here, come here, come here. Put your arms around me. Now step like I step. We're close, man. He moves like I do. Okay, buddy, you can let go now. We were really close right there. Okay? Real close. If I would have started running, hopefully he would have kept up. I don't run very fast, so I think he could. But the thing is, when we weren't connected, he was way off time. He was closer in time when we were more connected. This is how we're supposed to be with the Spirit. He doesn't have to know exactly where I'm going. He just needs to be there with me and figure it out as it's going on. Eventually, you would have found us in the cafe having a muffin. And then you would have been like, "Oh, that's where God was going. I get it. We're having muffins right now." No, I'm not God. I'm just saying where God takes you. Sometimes you end up on an island. Sometimes you end up in Syria. Sometimes you end up in Beverly Hills. You don't know where God's taking you. There's people everywhere on this earth. And wherever people are, God wants to go. And so stay close to God. Sometimes he keeps us here in Apache Junction because it's where we need to be. He's like, I kind of made you for Apache Junction, so you're going to stay there. I'm okay with that. And why am I okay with that? Because I'm okay with what God's plan is for my life. Pastor Sean had an idea about being on an island. This is funny to me. He thought he was going to be over by Honduras on an island. He had a plot of land all picked out and everything like that. He sent letters to Dr. Dobson and all the highfalutin charismatic preachers and with money. And here's my great idea about Arimathea. And I read some of the letters in his office back in the day. And I thought, man, I can't believe these guys didn't just be like, "Wow, here's some money. Reserve me a space." You know, it was such a good idea, right? If I was Dr. Dobson, I'd be like, "Great, reserve me a space because I'm going to burn out." I'm Dr. Dobson. And not me. You guys are so confused. So anyway, I'll try to unconfuse you right now. So anyway, he wrote all these letters and he thought he was going to be on an island, you know, a tropical island. And then he ends up in a desert. And God says, "Build a well. Build a well." And so up from that well springs the waters of life. And here you are today. This is the well here in Apache Junction. New season is the well. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. And so many amazing things have happened here. People have been risen from the dead. We've buried some, but we love them and we know their legacy goes on. Wow, that hurt more than I thought I was going to. So, people been delivered from drug addiction, from spiritual oppression, depression, any oppression you can think of. God's done a wonderful work here. He's healed marriages time and time again and made okay marriages good and good marriages better. We have a thriving youth group, which is it 60 or 70% of kids aren't even church kids? Something like that? Yeah, we got kids coming to youth that aren't even, their parents don't even go to church. They go to church, but their parents don't. Give God glory for that, you guys. Come on, praise it up. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Here's some things to remember. Oh, I missed a note. Jesus knows what the Father is doing, and as believers, we accept Jesus as into our hearts. And as we cultivate that relationship, we get closer and closer. So just remember that. Remember these things. As a believer, God will always – I think this – good. I have actually a little bit more than what's going to be on the slide, but work with me. As a believer, God will always be with you. He will always love you. He will always forgive your sins, and he will always listen to you. He will always comfort you. He will always provide for you. He will always remember you. He will always work on your behalf. He will always lead you with love, power, and wisdom. And he will always bless your obedience to him. He will always come through for you. And he will always answer your prayers. You might not like his answer, but he never says no. He says yes. Not now, or I have a better idea. That's how God answers prayers. He never says no. He never says no. He's a God of yeses. He says, yes, not now. You're too immature. It's true. He said that to me many times. Or I have... You're kind of on the right track, but check this idea out. What do you think about this? Pastor Sean, Tropical Island, God, desert. Check it out, Pastor Sean. But guess who owns land in Samoa now? Do you guys know who owns land in Samoa? Pastor Sean owns land in Samoa, given to him by chieftains, by royalty. Think about it. He was going to pay for a place over by Honduras. God says, make a well in the desert. He was obedient to God. And now he's got land in his, what he likes to call his homeland, Samoa. That's how God does things. He said, Pastor Sean, not now. I got a better idea. Go ahead. Praise him up. Praise him up. Praise God. And praise God that Pastor Sean listened. Amen. And when you wait on the Lord, you can know that for certain that the best is yet to come always. Always. Isaiah 64:4. You guys may have heard the scripture already a couple times. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Wait on the Lord. I have one simple note, one word, patience. Patience. You don't have to be a doctor to have patience. But when your doctor helps, if you have patience. Literally. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Be alert. Be ready. If you're going through something, remember, there's a whole family of believers around the world. I want you to remember this. There's a story. And I've tried to confirm it over and over again, but I can only find it as a legend. But it's been said multiple times. One of the first original Christian sects, S-E-C-T, was trapped in Egypt against a mountainside where they had built a temple. They were surrounded by Muslims back in 14-something. And they were told, it says in your word, they were mocked, just like the prophets of Baal did. It says in your word, pray to God and he will move the mountains. If you just have faith of a mustard seed, it says in your word. Oh, ye of little faith, tell that mountain to move and be cast into the sea. All you need is a mustard seed. Mustard seed is very small, very small. Smaller than a sesame seed. It looks like a little tiny ball. Very small. Very small. That's how much faith God says you have to cast a mountain. So the Muslims are burning them in to their temple. They have nowhere to go. So they said, what do we have to lose? We die or we move a mountain. Or we move a mountain. There's a shrine there today by the Catholic Church. These weren't Catholics. These were just early Christians. But there's a shrine there in Egypt today where their seismic activity happened and a mountain actually moved approximately 6 feet back in 14-something. They have scientific proof. And the Catholic, the diocese or whatever, they hold on to it, like, because they hold on to miracles. Because they believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. And our Christian brothers and sisters were being burnt in by an enemy. And they prayed to God, move the mountain. Move this mountain, God. Show them who you are. Move this mountain in my life. Show them who you are. I have a mountain of drug abuse. Show them who you are. I have a mountain of failed marriage. Show them who you are. I have a mountain of finances. Show them who you are, God. Show them who you are. You believe. You're close to him. You got God in your heart. You have Jesus in your heart. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And guess what? That mountain will move. You say in Jesus' name, mountain move, and it cannot stand. That's the kind of power you hold, Christian. That's the kind of power you hold. You can say nay, but literal mountains have been moved. And it wasn't Jesus. Yes, it was Jesus, but it was the people praying out to Jesus. What I'm saying, it wasn't when Jesus was here on earth. Because you think of miracles like that, and you're like, okay, he walked on water. The lame and the blind could see, and leopards were healed of their affliction. Jesus does miracles. Yes, but when he left, believe, Christian, when he left, he said, I'm sending one that is what than I am? Greater, so that you can do greater things than I have. They did it. I don't know about you guys, but mountains moving is a big deal. It's a big deal. Matthew 4:10, and I'll close after this. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And serve only him. I told Satan, get out of here. Who's in your heart? Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, Satan. You have that same power. If he comes, the devil himself, if he comes in your life and tries harassing you, you have the same power as a believer, as a Christian, to say, shut your mouth. Don't speak another word to me and leave now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They got to go. any demon, any overseeing oppressor, anything like that. You have the power. It may seem silly. Well, I'm talking about real believers here. I'm talking about real belief. If the Bible says it, that means God spoke it. If God spoke it, that means it's real. If it's real, we better believe it. I know sometimes it seems real confusing on this Christianity life, this life of a Christian. And it can be overwhelming at times. And I understand. I get it. I know what it's like to lose things while you're a Christian. I've lost houses. I've lost a truck. I've lost friendships. I've lost trust. I've lost myself. And then Jesus found me again. Believe. Believe. Can I have every head bowed and every eye closed? If you guys would, could you guys stand, please? Please stand. What's up? So if you, while you're standing there, if you could bow your heads, and if you're already saved, please pray right now. If you're, I'm talking to new Christians, people that haven't accepted Jesus into their heart yet, or those that are wavering, If you want this kind of belief like I'm talking about right now, and you want Jesus in your heart, or you want that kind of belief, please raise your hand right now. Excellent, excellent. Okay. If you've never received Jesus into your heart and you're like, you know what? This is a little silly. You're right. You said it yourself, preacher. You said it's kind of silly, but there's something about this I don't understand. And it's drawing me and touching my heart right now. And I want to make a confession that Jesus is Lord in my life. I want what you have. I want this closeness with God. I want to be saved. If that's you right now, please raise your hand so we can pray together. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you guys can raise your heads. I want us to pray together as a church right now. I'm not going to single out any individuals, but thank you to those that raised their hands. And I'm sorry if I missed anybody, but I did see four hands. So you guys, let's go ahead and pray together as a corporate body right now. Dear Jesus, I love you. I want to be close to you. I want you to come into my heart and be the Lord and the Savior of my soul. Come into my heart and clean. What is mine is yours. I'm no longer my own. And I thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. And for being my Savior. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Amen. Amen. Even if you did not raise your hand, but you said that prayer and you meant it like in a new way or a special way, and you weren't just being there for your brother and sister next to you, please contact somebody in this church and talk to them. Do we have a prayer team today? It was probably, looky, looky. We do. We got two powerful ladies of God. So we have a prayer team over here. If you guys want to go talk to them or talk to any of the leaders in the church, I'll be up here, I'll be over by the door. Thank you guys for saying the prayer. And God, I pray that you just go with everybody today, that you be with everybody today, and I pray that you sink this word in people's hearts, Father God, where it belongs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you guys so much.